So in terms of cases, and I'm going to pick on Gil and Marla for this, and if I could have the first slide of the cases. So case one is a patient with ulcerative colitis who's lost response to their first anti-TNF. And just to get the questions out of the way first before we present the cases, what treatment would you make now? Would you go to a second anti-TNF, an integrin, a JAK inhibitor off-label? And what are the pros and cons to each of these? So this is a 37-year-old with ulcerative colitis who 7 years ago was diagnosed after quitting smoking. So common scenario, cigarettes protect against ulcerative colitis. She quit, and now she has pan-UC. 15 bloody bowel movements a day with urgency and tenesmus. Otherwise, she's healthy, and there are really no other medical problems that she has and no extraintestinal manifestations. Initially, she's treated with corticosteroids and mesalamine, but each time she tapers the corticosteroids, she has a return in her colitis symptoms. Ultimately, you start her on azathioprine at 1.5 milligram per kilogram a day and infliximab at 5 milligram per kilogram, and she responds extremely well and goes into remission. So initially, this is what her colonoscopy looked like throughout, so I think all of us can agree that this is a pretty severe case of colitis. And then ultimately, after 1 year of infliximab and azathioprine, she's in a deep remission. Her colon looks normal. Most of you have seen in your practices patients that you, if you didn't know before, can't believe that they ever had IBD. So severe disease, now on infliximab and azathioprine in remission. So Gil and Marla, she's a year out in remission. Colonoscopy looks normal. What do? Do you continue both infliximab and azathioprine? Do you stop either agent? Do you lower the azathioprine dose from 1.5 mg per kg? Do you stop both? Do you check levels? What do? So, Marla, maybe I'll start with you, and then Gil, let me get your feedback as well.
So, Miguel, she's been in remission for a year?
In remission for a year. Initially, she was treated with steroids and mesalamine. And she's finally now in remission for 1 year on infliximab and azathioprine with a normal-looking colonoscopy.
I'm choosing the wrong mic. Okay. So actually, in this patient, what I'd prefer to do is kind of do like a cleanup. You know, I want to benchmark her endoscopy with a calprotectin because I will want to follow her not with repeat colonoscopies. So I want to benchmark the histologic and macroscopic imaging with a calpro. I want to make sure all my labs are normal, so other biomarkers, CRP, sed rate, platelets, CBC. And really, to be truthful, I want to get drug levels of both infliximab and azathioprine because I want to figure out whether or not there's any infliximab. If there isn't and it's azathioprine, then that will help gauge what my next move would be. Okay. That would be the place where I would start.
So it sounds like, and actually many of the questions that were coming in regarded biomarkers. And so you've kind of answered that. You're saying, you know it's normal now.
Yeah.
Let's get a calprotectin, maybe a CRP. Let's get levels of my drug so I know where to go. And based on that, then make a decision on treatment. So, Gil, in L.A., what are you doing? Stopping everything? Coffee enemas? What? Something else?
Granola is the answer to everything.
Answer.
And actually, marijuana.
I was going to say, and yeah. Maybe some marijuana. But maybe we'll get to that in the questions. But yeah. Go ahead.
I think I agree with Marla that it's time to sort of check in and see where things are at. I'm not sure I would check a calprotectin.
How are you going to follow her?
Probably by colonoscopy. She's already had 7 years of disease. My plan is overall not to rock the boat. I want to make sure she's optimized on the therapy she's on, but it's not because I feel like I want to see if I can take her off of one or the other. Looking at the picture of the colon that you showed us, I would be very scared that rocking the boat could end up with badness, and I would be very hesitant. If things are going well for her, I would want to continue them. But I would, as Marla said, really want to check in. I want to check her drug levels. I want to make sure she's optimized on the medications that she's on.
All right. So you probably are leaning toward, based on her initial colonoscopy, severe disease. And actually, for all of you in the audience, I think this is where I struggle sometimes. I don't see them initially, that bad colonoscopy. We don't get that report. And we just see the normal. And the temptation is, this looks great, and we need to stop treatment or cut down. So I think both of you are saying maybe check levels and see what happens.
But I want to ask a question. Has there ever been any data to support that the initial endoscopic evaluation at time of diagnosis predicts the prognosis in someone who gets complete mucosal healing? No, right? I don't think. I'm just saying that should we be looking at the initial colonoscopy?
That's a fair question. I think there is data showing that the severity of inflammation at diagnosis does predict outcomes, but what you're saying is, but this time they've got, after a period of time, they've gone into endoscopic remission.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think one part of this is when people achieve a deep remission, which now includes histology, and there's normalcy, probably what has come before is less important. But the honest answer is we don't know. And cutting to one question that's not here, we know that about half these patients, if you stop everything, by 2 years will recur, and by 8 years, about 80% will recur. So we're still learning what are the markers of the future.
One other question I would ask her before you get to this is, did she start smoking again?
She did not.
Okay.
And she also
want to make sure I asked that in a very non-judgmental way.
Non-threatening way. As you are meant to do, Gil, you are non-threatening. That's good. So she wants to get pregnant, and she stops her azathioprine, and she doesn't want to smoke. Prior to stopping azathioprine, you do get levels, and her infliximab's 11, and she has undetectable antibodies, and she says, you know what, regardless of what you tell me, I'm stopping my azathioprine. So for the next few years, she actually does quite well. She continues the infliximab through pregnancy, delivers a healthy baby. She has no interruption in her infliximab dosing. Now she begins to have symptoms. So this is now 3 or 4 years after she's delivered monotherapy infliximab. She's C. diff negative. She's not on NSAIDs. She notices now she's starting to lose response. So kind of the typical 2 weeks prior to the infusion, she starts to have some symptoms that are becoming more severe. And she also tells you that her father was recently diagnosed with colon cancer, and she's very concerned that she may have cancer. So you repeat a colonoscopy, and now you see this. She has active panulcerative colitis, monotherapy infliximab, no dysplasia or cancer, at least on the biopsies and the examination, and a normal TI. So what do you do with this? Her infliximab level's checked, and I think that was probably maybe the next question you would ask, and it's low, and she now has high antibodies. So she's done very well with infliximab for years. Do you go to a second anti-TNF? Do you go to Veto? Do you use off-label TOFA? Do you restart the azathioprine? And then do you consider a colectomy, and what are the pros and cons? So, Gil, maybe I'll start with you. What do you do in this patient who's lost response, now has high antibodies and a low level of infliximab?
So there's not great data to guide us here, and I think that there are a few viable options. If the antibody levels were much lower but still present, maybe in that case, I suppose if she wasn't that sick, restarting AZA might be an option, but it's not an option here. The antibodies are too high. Her colon looks too bad. So I think that starting a second anti-TNF or starting vedolizumab would be appropriate here. Because it's infliximab that she's on, I would be worried that a subcutaneous anti-TNF might not give her the dosing that she needs as quickly as she needs it, given the severity of her colon. And so I think what I would favor probably in this scenario would be vedolizumab. But I think it could go, I would consider strongly a second anti-TNF or veto, but I think, given what I just said about sub-Q, I would go with vedolizumab. I wouldn't prescribe off-label tofacitinib at this point, and she's certainly not ready for a colectomy because there are medications that she hasn't been on.
Good. So before you get to Marla, I was going to pin you down, but it sounds like, aside from wavering between two things, you're picking veto, with that.
I'm going to veto.
And one editorial comment, and maybe Marla can follow up on this. Marla brought this up in her talk. I actually think that some of the medicines we have now, for example, adalimumab, is a great medicine that we may have picked the smaller dose, meaning that we think we probably need higher doses of adalimumab. So to Gil's point about that subcutaneous fixed injection, There is a trial now going on for ulcerative colitis with 160 4 weeks in a row. So 160, 160, 160, 160, very high dose to try to get the levels up. But Marla, what would you do here? Veto, another anti-TNF, something else?
So I'm going to assume that you're using something to bridge her to, if vedolizumab was chosen, that you'd be using a corticosteroid, for example.
So why do you say that?
Well, it's the onset of action concerns me, particularly in someone who's had TNF exposure. I think we're, you know, when you look at the data, I will say more so in Crohn's and UC, there was a bigger difference between exposed and naive. But we're all experiencing in our practice that we're communicating to the patient that if you've been on TNF, you're, that six-week mark of where we see response is actually getting delayed and may even not happen until your first maintenance infusion. So I think you have to be able to have time. So what you're really looking at is if you had someone who's really sick, failing TNF, and we don't have time and they're failing IV steroids, then the discussion of potentially colectomy does need to come to the table. One of the things that I bring up maybe is the fact that if she got antibodies to one, if you were to restart a second anti-TNF, you'd be looking at restarting a concomitant, particularly azathioprine, more so than methotrexate if she wants to have more babies, as an example. Although azathioprine is safe and we're using it in pregnancy, I don't want to make it sound like we're not, but she had already stopped it and maybe she had concerns about using azathioprine. So if you're going to go with a second anti-TNF, you're going to need to use combination therapy, at least in my opinion. And in the absence of having high-dose induction, it does concern me about a second anti-TNF, I will say. And so if you are going to go with a second anti-TNF, you're probably going to have to go to weekly pretty quickly, and you'd want to check drug levels very early. But I could say the same for vedolizumab. We have data from the Gemini trial that if a vedolizumab level at week six was less than 37.5 or something along those lines, the patient wasn't making it out to week 14, and therefore you may have to bring them in at week 10. So these, and albumin and CRP would be very important in this decision making because all of them are impacted by CRP and albumin, including vedolizumab.
Right. So the monoclonal antibodies we think are lost in the colon more. So to Marla's point, we probably need higher doses in these patients. And I think one key aspect, and I'll just tell you in my practice off-label, I have had patients where I've gone after induction veto to every 4 to 6 weeks and give it more frequently. Now, what's the biggest problem with that is the insurance company and getting payment for it. But I do think more drug in some of these patients can help. Marla, let me ask a question. Veto, would you use in this patient who had antibodies to an anti-TNF? You mentioned azathioprine with the anti-TNF. Would you use the azathioprine with veto in this patient? And then how about for a new start veto?
To be honest with you, we've just recently validated the antibody data using actually the Prometheus platform assay at Sinai. And we actually show that the antibody rate, which Ryan is presented here at DDW on Garo, that the antibody rate was 3.5%, and it was agnostic to whether they were on immunomodulator or not. It's a very low rate, so I can't say like it's that dramatically different. And interestingly, in those four patients that we had antibodies, they all had drug level. So it looks to be different than what we know about antibodies against the TNF. So to be honest, in my practice, I'm not using combination therapy with vedolizumab or ustekinumab, to be quite honest. So especially in a woman who may want to get pregnant again, she didn't want to use it the first time. She in particular, I wouldn't use combo, to be honest. And in my day-to-day practice, it's not the first thing I'm going to is combination therapy. And we have not shown that patients who get antibodies to a TNF have increased risk of getting antibodies to a completely different class, unless you're familiar with data that I'm not aware of.
So, Gil, in this patient, if you went to veto, since that was your choice, would you give her a concomitant immunomodulator like azathioprine or do what Marla says and go monotherapy?
I'm going to go totally not based on evidence here, but what I would do is, given the severity of her colitis now for a second time and already having burned through infliximab and not having great options, if this doesn't work, I would use a combination therapy at a treatment dose and basically try to treat her with two drugs rather than one, because she's got a lot to lose if this doesn't work.
So I agree with Gil, and you're hearing that this is
clear
as mud. So yeah, Marla's 1-2. She wins every time. But the reason I agree with Gil is to his point. If you do have antibodies, despite what Marla just said, in an evidence-based world, I think if you have antibodies to one, even though they don't cross to the other, I worry about that, and I do give azathioprine. Also, one of the questions that's actually popping up, a lot of people are asking, and I'll give you my opinion, but I'll see what the two of you say, is that I don't stop azathioprine for pregnancy. Now, that's a personal, it's a shared decision, but based on the data that's evolving, the safety of azathioprine in pregnancy actually looks good. So this is not somebody I would have stopped. Now, we have plenty of our patients who will push that, and I won't argue that point, but safety-wise, I think it's okay to continue. And if she were to get pregnant again, I would continue azathioprine if she'd be willing to do that in pregnancy. So Marla, maybe a quick point from you before we get to the next case.
I agree and assume, let's say she was that sick and you were on combination therapy and you got her better and she got pregnant. To be honest, what sometimes we're doing, we're actually stopping azathioprine in the third trimester, because there was data, getting them through the two most important trimesters, to be quite honest, is getting them through the risk of termination in the first trimester due to inflammation and preterm delivery in the second. In the third, you have higher progesterone levels, which actually is an anti-inflammatory. And if there is, based on the data from Amsterdam, that the baby's levels of 6-TG are the same as the mom's, you probably don't need it in the third trimester. So, and because there's not an immunogenicity issue of going up and down, and the second point with infliximab, there's now clear evidence that infliximab levels actually go up in the third trimester and not go down, I think you have reason to be able to optimize therapy without needing a second drug in the third trimester. So that's kind of my hybrid approach to that woman.
So I think the take-home message from that is that it sounds like you're not stopping anything in the first two trimesters, but maybe towards the end of the third, or in the third trimester, and probably restarting it then once delivery is once they've delivered.